I want to take a few minutes and share with you a message today about a brand new day. And we have a brand new day because, as the kids said, the tomb was empty. You know, I think about the stories that tell what happened that day. And as the scene opens, there's disappointment, there's betrayal, there's anguish, there's sorrow and regret. All very human emotions that many of us probably walk through daily, weekly, monthly. And as Mary took that slow, long walk to the tomb, every hope that she had clung to had been dashed. She thought Jesus would be with them forever. He was her friend, and now he was gone. How could she go forward without Jesus? He had saved her life as he had saved other people's lives, maybe not literally from some present danger, but certainly from the life that they were living, a life that was dead-ended, a life with little hope. And I thought about the fact that there are moments in life for each and every one of us where everything that we believe is challenged by what's happening around you. People you thought would always stand by you suddenly disappear. People who you believed in are no longer there. Jesus was everything to people like Mary and Peter and John. And now their world was upside down because in an instant everything had changed. Standing outside the garden with his disciples, he was carried away, brought from one place to another. Peter tried to follow, tried to see what was happening, and then he got caught up in his own failures. Jesus had predicted that Peter would deny him 3 times. It was unthinkable. He was Jesus' number one man. How could he betray Jesus? How could he deny him? And yet, as he kind of watched in the wings, it turned out that within a very short time, 3 times, when he was confronted, I don't know him, nobody. You know, there are times in my life where maybe it hasn't been as blunt as that, but I'm in a crowd of people and I kind of hide or shrink back from my Christian persona. Places where they don't know I'm a minister. You see, where they know that I'm a minister, they're all good and they all try to be on their best behavior, and so am I, but there are other places where I'm not, and maybe you are too. Someone once said that a lot of Christians are very good at being a secret agent for God. They hide among the people incognito. Maybe that's what Peter was trying to do. When they came to the tomb, though, that day, and they looked in their sorrow and disappointment, suddenly something changed. They looked in and it was empty. The bedclothes had been folded neatly, indicating that Jesus wasn't going to be back. And then there was the voice of the angel that said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Think about that for a minute. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Mary and the disciples didn't understand that day. But when they looked into that empty tomb, they were witnessing the promise of God being fulfilled. The Apostle John puts it this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." When these words were spoken, when you look at the words in their Aramaic, they didn't simply refer to the time of death. Eternal life also dealt with life here on earth, life going forward, life forevermore here on earth and afterwards. It pointed to a life of peace, a life of joy, a life that all God wants us to have. That's why in another passage, Jesus says, I came so that you may have life and have it abundantly, a life of blessings. And when we look into that tomb, God says to us another thing. He says, "I forgive you and I give you a promise. I will never let you go." Doesn't look like much, this facsimile, but that tomb represents so much. There's a term, a theological term, that is often used to express what happens when we give our lives to Christ. When we say, "I will follow you, I love you, I want to be with you." And when you do that, when you give your life to Christ, he gives you a promise, and it's called eternal security. What it means is that God seals your future. You no longer have to worry about your salvation because your sins have been forgiven. Christ died on the cross, paid the price for your sins. You're forgiven, you're free, and God won't take it back. That's His promise. You are His, and He is yours, and God is faithful on all His promises. It is, for all intents and purposes, a brand new day for each and every one of us. In ancient times, a king would put his seal on a declaration he made. He'd take his ring and make an impression on the edict, and once that happened, it was done. When you come to Jesus and you give your life to Him, you confess your sins, ask forgiveness, He grants it, and He signs off on His promise. You are safe now forever. That's eternal security. There are no givebacks. You belong to Him. And that's why once we give our life to Christ, we can live without fear. We can live life as a joint heir with Christ. I like what Pastor Ray said at the Sunrise service this morning. He talked about the fact that we no longer need to fear because we have Christ. And there's nothing can separate us from that love. If you've never really done so before, I want you to really look deeply into that tomb. Maybe I invited the children to come up and look afterwards. Maybe you want to look in there too to see that it's really empty. I had a friend of mine tell me several years ago that the empty tomb is really the foundation of our faith. If Christ didn't rise, then everything we believe is false. Maybe that's why some people are trying to still earn God's favor, because they don't really believe it was empty. The problem is that we can't earn our own salvation ourselves. But some people still try to live their whole lives trying to be perfect, trying to follow the law, only to fail and face disappointment. And they live in fear because if they make one misstep, they're afraid that God will reject them and turn them away. The problem is that we all fall short of the glory of God. And if that's not the case, others try to live their whole lives trying to find the sin in others and make it their job to be God's secret police. In doing that, they can disregard their own sin and feel they're making amends by helping out God. I'm going to help God see who's righteous and who isn't and pick on other people. That way I don't have to look at my own faults. Jesus talked about that. He said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, He said, why are you worrying about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a log in your eye? And sometimes I think people who are the most judgmental have that log and they can't see very clearly. We always need to work on our own life before we start worrying about others. You see, that's what we have control over. I have to make sure that I'm right with God before I start worrying about others. You see, it's only through the sacrifice of Christ that we and everyone around us have forgiveness and new life. The Apostle Paul talks about our struggle. He says, I don't know why it is, why I do what I do not want to do and why I do the things I do, in other words. And he says, sometimes I feel like I'm taking two steps forward and then one step back. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You're kind of going right along. Everything's going well in your life. And then all of a sudden, you do something foolish. Something you know is wrong. And I don't know why I did it. I was tempted. I always joke about the fact that I'm a diabetic. And Dorothy is very good in the office. She doesn't put any sugar candy in there. It's pretzels. But how many pretzels can you eat, right? I know I shouldn't be having ice cream and cookies and stuff, but I still do. And maybe that's a silly comparison. But we know that there are some of us who do things that we know we shouldn't do. And yet we do them and we don't know why. We can't do it on our own. We need help. We can't justify ourselves before God. But in that empty tomb, the risen Lord, we find the security to live and to love God and to help others find Him too. You know, I think that one of the reasons that Jesus established the church after He ascended into heaven was this. He said, people are going to need help. And so I'm going to send you out to help those who are lost, those who are struggling. And so if we see someone who's hurting themselves, our job is to come alongside them just as Jesus did. Jesus was called the friend of sinners by His enemies because He was always reaching out to people like Zacchaeus. the other Pharisees, guys like Matthew. Matthew, can you imagine Matthew, the hated tax collector? He invited him to be part of his group. Because the truth is, there's some of Matthew and some of Zacchaeus in all of us, and we need to help one another, to love one another, to bring the grace of God to one another, especially if someone has forgotten that. Our job is to go and tell the tomb is empty, just like the first disciples. The idea of being in Christ, and that's what happens when we decide to align ourselves with Him, when we decide to follow Him. This idea of being in Christ is one of the big themes in Scripture. Actually, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 says it four times. He says, in Christ in chapter 1. He says, in Christ you are blessed, in Christ you are adopted, in Christ you are set free, and in Christ you are eternally forgiven. In fact, that's what you get when you look into the tomb and accept Christ. You are forgiven. Your sins are buried there with Him. And becoming a follower of Christ, a Christian, simply means that you made a decision to take your life and to place it in God's hands. When you do that, you have God's promise that you're forgiven and He will love you forever. And that's the good news. When Christ arose, it confirmed everything He said and made all His promises come true. Now, as a result of the resurrection, several other things flow out of it, and the first thing should be gratitude. We want to thank God and show Him our love. I live my life every day, and I know many of you do too, just trying to show God how much we love Him. And that's why we do the good things we do. The truth is, we'll never be perfect. We'll all stumble. Yet it's a new day. It is a new day. And we don't have to be afraid anymore when we are in Christ. Our life is sealed by the blood of Christ and confirmed in the resurrection. But let me say this. If you aren't feeling close to God right now, it isn't because of something that somebody else is doing. It isn't because God isn't listening. It's because maybe there's something in your life that needs to be forgiven. It may be a big thing, one of the top 10, the 10 commandments. Could be an attitude like pride or greed or envy. Could be that you're living with sexual immorality in your life. I can tell you this, if you're not feeling close to God, you need to ask for forgiveness and then work on embracing the new life. What I want to do is invite you, if you've got something that's a stumbling block, to put it in the tomb. And here's what I'm going to do. Since the tomb is empty, Jesus isn't there. What I'm going to do is after the service, I'm going to put the rock in front of that so that those sins, those things that are troubling you will never be able to come back and haunt you again. You see, that's the promise. That's the promise of the empty tomb, that Christ has buried those things and you can live. Now, I wish I could say that this was the end of it. It wasn't. You know, there's a story I tell about when I was going through my bad spell. I went to a wedding with some friends of mine, and I had been drinking heavily, and on the way home, I got too close to the car in front of me. Actually, I got so close that we kind of bumped into each other. And I remember the police coming and bringing me to the police station with my three friends. Talk about embarrassing, being a 20-year-old. They said, "Who are you going to call?" I had to call my father. It was not an easy phone call. I called him and said, "Dad, I'm sitting here in the police station. I had an accident, and you have to come and pick me up." There isn't a more humbling moment than that. And so I figured that when my father came, he was going to give me the riot act. He was going to tell me how wrong I was and how I should never have done that and how I was an embarrassment to him and to the family. And he came and picked me up. We drove that 40 minutes back home in silence. He didn't say a word. We got home and he said, "Why don't you get undressed and hop in bed?" I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it never did. Well, when he got there, his first question was this. He said, "Are you all right?" And my response was, "I am so sorry." And he said, "That's okay. You're forgiven." That's what God says. When we come to Him, we know we've done wrong, but He says, "You are forgiven." The good news is this, that God is always there for you. He will never let you down. And that empty tomb is His promise that He will be there always. He lives. He lives. He's in the world today. No matter what others will say, He's there. And He's in our hearts to stay. When we give our lives to Christ, He seals the promise with His presence. And we praise God that He's alive. Amen.